Over the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about a series titled Being There. And 2 weeks ago, we had a topic titled Stop Controlling That. I thought that was a bit challenging. And the next one last week was Why Is God So Slow? I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel God is incredibly slow, much slower than a snail. And at times I feel that God should be galloping way ahead of me at the speed of a cheetah. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. We live in a very exciting time in history. A time where, as a human race, we've been able to harness a lot of the experience of those who have gone before us. And we are also at a time where God is progressively revealing to us as a human race, and we're able to tap into knowledge and be able to advance things in such a way that we can build and we can make things happen and enjoy what is available to us as a human race. Over time, also, unfortunately, as a result of that, as a result of having things happening faster for us and things happen quicker for us, we've also slipped into a culture as a race of doing things in a way that aren't necessarily very resilient anymore. We've slipped into a culture as a human race where we sort of feel individualistic about what we do and how we approach things. We sort of think, well, if it doesn't work for you, forget about it, move on to something else. We've come into a point in time and history where if you can have a voice and if you can shout loud enough, we will listen to you and things will happen for you. And it doesn't really matter whether it's so much so about the general population or about other people. We sort of have that thinking about ourselves. And at times, that also is a restriction for us, because when the going gets too hard, then it's easier for us to quit because I don't want to do it anymore. I just want to go on to something else. Tonight, I want to challenge you. And at the same time, I want to encourage you. And the message I'm bringing tonight is going to be about someone who is ready to quit. I don't know about you, but I certainly know about myself that I've been times and time again when I've been ready to quit. And if that is you tonight, if you're at a point where you feel like you're ready to quit, then God has a message for you tonight. Let's bow our hearts as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to be able to come before you tonight and spend some time in your presence. And Lord, we just pray tonight, I ask in Jesus' name that, Lord, you would open up the hearts of your people. And I ask in the name of Jesus that, Holy Spirit, you would just speak a word in season to everyone who is here tonight. I ask that my voice will not be heard tonight, but the voice of your Spirit will be heard loud and clear. And I ask, Father, that in a way we cannot miss, Lord, you will meet us at every point that is relevant to our individual journeys. That, Lord, at the end of today, our lives will be transformed. And in it all, heaven will rejoice, because Jesus will be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Ready to quit. How good will it be if you and I can very easily complete whatever we set out to do? If there is any good thing that you want to do, it's a very smooth cruise. You start it and you end it without any obstructions or any difficulties along the way. I would love to live in a world like that. But the reality is, that is not the case. And over various phases and various aspects of our lives, there are always going to be challenges being inevitable. Sometimes some of the challenges will be easy to overcome. Sometimes they may be moderate. Sometimes they can be harsh and severe to go through. At every point in time when we go through challenges and obstacles and things that may be standing in our way, we will always have a choice to make. Whether to keep pressing on and going through the adversity, or whether to quit and turn back. This might not sound very pleasant to your ears. It certainly isn't very pleasant to me. But anything worth doing at all will be hard to achieve. If it is easy to achieve, I bet it might not be worth doing. Anything worth doing will be hard to achieve. But the good news is, for the most part, whatever pain or whatever challenges or whatever difficult circumstance you find yourself in, Jesus has been here in person as a human and has walked the path. And he understands the pain that we go through. He understands the difficulty that we go through and the tearings that may be hard for us to go past in getting to the other side of the challenges that we may be facing. I don't know what you're being called to champion. I don't know what you've decided in your heart to achieve. But if you want to be anything, whether you want to be a champion in anything, you want to be a leader, you want to be a parent, you want to be a person that lives with integrity, or you want to be a person of character, you want to be an accomplished musician or an accomplished dancer, or you want to be a foster parent, or you want to pursue a dream, a career, a follower of Christ, those things will come with challenges. They will come and you will meet with obstacles. But in all things, no matter what you face, whether as a parent or as a student or as a worker or as an employer or whatever, as a pastor, as a churchgoer, as someone who is serving, in all things, you need to find a deep conviction, something in you that is deep to strengthen you not to quit. And as the popular saying goes, you probably would have heard that before, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. You have to somehow find your motivation to keep going. And you need to adjust your vocabulary, your speech, and your mindset to be in line with what you hope to achieve. If your vocabulary and your mindset is, if it gets too hard and I'm going to quit anyway, then quitting is just around the corner because it's an option you have laid before yourself. I want to share a personal story in my own life. As a pre-teenage child, no access to internet, no access to any form of computer, I don't know how it came about in my head somehow. I had a dream that I was going to live. I lived in Nigeria. And I had a dream as a pre-teenager that I was going to live in a country called Australia. I did not have access to the map of the world at that point. And I really mean it. I did not know where Australia was. I lived in a very rural, small rural town. And I used to say it back then that I was going to live in a country called Australia. Sounded like a little kid's dream somehow. Maybe it's going to fizzle away. And my life evolved, became a teenager. I became unruly. I had my moments. My parents will just hope and pray that this guy can leave the house someday, somehow, wherever he finds himself. But I grew. It took me about 15 years before I began to concretize plans about actually visiting that country called Australia. And so I started out, once I finished school, eventually, I thought, well, am I set out for this place? And there were challenges on my way to come here. It may be difficult for you to comprehend as an Australian because you just get your passport, you go to Europe. No dramas at all. You spend 3 weeks in Europe, you go through wherever you want to go to, you come back. From the other side, it's not the same. And just to pick up a passport and say I'm a Nigerian, I want to come to Australia, it doesn't happen that way. So I had to go through some hurdles to be able to get here. And down the hurdles became a bit tough. And it got to a point in my life in 2008. I found myself in a little town of about 2,000 people in a country called Botswana. If you've never seen that before, you can check your map. You will find it. It's in Southern Africa. I found myself in a country called Botswana. And I was in a desert called Kalahari Desert. 2,000 people. Very little town. A mining town. They all knew each other. Anybody that comes into town is known straight away. And so I got into this place. I did not speak the local language. The people were not very friendly. They were very suspicious. And I found myself in this place. And I went through a very difficult time. I was there to be employed. I started doing my job. And somehow, I applied for a visa. Within a short while, my visa was knocked back. And so I found myself in a thread of not having a visa, but having to present every 4 weeks for a stamp that says you could stay on for another 4 weeks. And we don't know what's going to happen after the 4 weeks. And I kept on getting a stamp every 4 weeks. And every single week leading up to the 4 weeks, I had to travel for about 400 kilometers to go get a stamp and travel back, which took me a whole day to go back and forth. But I had my eyes on where I was going. I had my eyes on coming to Australia to do what? I wasn't sure at that point, but I wanted to come here. And somehow, the weeks rolled into months, the months rolled into half a year and a year, and it all kept going. And it got to a point, I remember very, very clearly, on the 8th of May, 2009, I had a shower and I was at work. First thing in the morning, my boss rang me, and he said, Joe, where are you? I said, I'm at work. He said, I think you should go home. Go pack your bags. somebody needs to drive you across the border before the end of today. And I was thinking to myself, the border is 600 kilometers away. How am I going to get there before the end of today? Long story short, within 6 hours, I was out of that country on a flight. I was out of the country, left all that I had behind. I wasn't even sure if I had my papers, my certificates, and all of that with me, which I was carrying everywhere. And I left that country within 6 hours. But ask me, a few weeks later, I found myself back there. I go back there again. I kept taking my 4 4-week and 6 6-week stamps. And it got to a point in my life where it was really tough and difficult. It got really low. And I was thinking to myself, what on earth am I doing here? My mates and my colleagues back in Nigeria had finished school. They were already training to become heart specialists, surgeons. I had the opportunity to become one of those kind of, to go on those kind of pathways and live my dream, either as a surgeon or as whatever I wanted to do in a specialist field, as a doctor. And I kept thinking, this is my long-term dream. I've got to stay on to it. But it got to a point when it got so hard. I remember my fiancé back then, who is sitting here in the audience, Ty. And I called her one day and I said, I think enough is enough. I've got to come back home. My mates are not doing badly. If I keep on this pathway, I think I will be fine. And I rang my mom at some point as well, saying, hey, I need to come back home. And I remember them saying to me, no, you can't come. You stay there. Keep on with the dream. It's going to happen someday. Long story short, 3 years on, the 8th of May, 2009, to 8th of May, 2011, I arrived in Australia with my family. But within those 3 years, they were really difficult years, really dark moments and periods when I felt there is just no point in pressing on. But I look back today. I look back at the steps that I took then and the difficult challenges and terrains I found myself, the unfriendly people I had around me, people who were not there to encourage me. But I also saw, and I can see today, the path that only has not only opened for myself, but has opened for my family and my extended family as a result of my decision not to quit, but to stay true to my dream. And I look back today as a 10-year-old. I don't know how it came, but I believe it was the Spirit of God who was saying to me, I was going to be a pathway for my family and even for friends who have also been able to make a way to come to this place. And I look back as a family. I've got more than 20 members of my family living in this country today. I've got many friends who have also come as a result of my journey. And I've got people that I've met on the way that my story has inspired and that God has given me the opportunity to also be able to open doors for them to be able to pursue their dreams and their goals and their families and even people who are attached to them. That's one part of my story. I've got many stories of areas where I could have quit in the past. But I remember when those days, when I used to go through that and I thought about myself, I did not think about the bigger picture. And there are times in our lives when it gets so tough and we can begin to look at ourselves and not look at the bigger picture and the doors that God is going to use us to open, either for others or for lives to be impacted. Jesus himself, our ultimate example when he lived on earth, went through difficult times. He had an assignment, he had a mission to come to save the world, to save the lost, and to restore them back into relationship with God. But it will get to a point where it became too hard. And we read in the book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 36, where Jesus will cry in the garden, Abba, Father, he cried out, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet, I want your will to be done, not mine. We need to get to a point where we know it's hard, it's difficult, it's almost impossible. By my will, I don't want to go any further, but I want to be subject to your will, O God. I want to open myself and release myself to what is your will for me in this circumstance and in this situation. If it is your will for me to press on, I want you to strengthen me through it. It may be hard, it may be difficult, it may seem impossible, but I want to stay the course if it is your will for me. And we read about Jesus. Prior to that, we read about him and his disciples. And he would talk to them and ask them, who do people say I am? And Peter would say to Jesus that you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, that's in the book of Matthew 16, verses 15 to 18. And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by the flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Jesus will give him a new name at that point in time. Jesus will let him know that the person he saw himself to be wasn't what he saw him to be in his future. And we will see the same Peter and all the disciples walk with Jesus along the way. But it got to a point where Jesus was going to go to the cross. It was going to get to a point where it was going to be the most difficult part of his ministry on earth. And Jesus will select the three. He will select Peter. He will select James and John. And he will take them with him to a difficult point where he was going to be sorrowful. And I reckon that Peter would have been thinking at such points, as they journeyed along, that Jesus has said about him that he is the rock. He will see himself being the rock upon which the church of Christ was going to be built. But the church wasn't just going to be built without some challenges to come along the way. This same Peter we will see deny Jesus. The same Peter we will see say he does not know Jesus. He will throw in the towel and hope that he is not associated with Jesus, upon who the church of Christ was going to be built. And we see how Jesus will go to the disciples as they prayed. He will go to them on the first occasion and ask, "Why are you sleeping?" If we read in the book of Mark chapter 14, verse 37, he will return to his disciples and found them sleeping. And Jesus will say, "Simon," he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Now, this is not Peter talking. Jesus is saying, the spirit is willing. I can see that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Peter must be thinking at this point, why is he calling me Simon again? He's just changed my name not long ago. Why would Jesus call me Simon again? But Jesus at this point will let him realize that you may not necessarily be there yet. I see you as the rock upon which I was going to build my church. I will build my church. But you're not there yet. You're still Simon. You still have your shortcomings. You still have the difficulties to go through. And you still have that transformation to go through before you become the rock upon which I'm going to build my church. And Jesus will go to them again the second time. Again, he will find them sleeping. Then Simon Peter, at some point, would draw his sword and cut off someone's ear because he felt they were arresting Jesus. But Jesus, at this point, will see beyond his weaknesses. He will see beyond his failings as a man. He will see beyond his inability and his inadequacies as someone who was going through a tough and a challenging time. And Jesus himself would go through a difficult time, and he will recognize that it is difficult to go through those difficult periods. But you've got to stay the course. You've got to be ready to stay the course and not to quit. Jesus didn't quit. He endured. In the difficult times, with the extreme sense of loss, with the extreme sense of guilt in the heart of Peter, Jesus will still hold on to him. Abandonment, Jesus experienced, but he did not quit. Physical pain, which was going to be unbearable. Humiliation before the people, he still stayed the course. He knew there was a price to pay, and he knew there was a goal to achieve. And as Christians, as individuals, in things we are being called to do, there are prices to pay. There are difficult challenges and terrains that we will have to go through. But we have to recognize that the strength of God is ours to tap into. We have to realize that the Holy Spirit is there to help us. And there are people who have been assigned to be around us if we get ourselves connected to the right people. But it is important that we realize that even if we go through the difficult times and even if we fail in certain instances, like Peter did, like he denied Jesus, like he felt like quitting, and even went back fishing, we have to realize that God does not give up on us. God still believes in us. He's called us to an assignment. He's given us a dream. He's given us something to pursue. And he's confirmed in your heart that this is where he's taking you. As hard as it may be, the Holy Spirit is able to help you through it. We just need to tap into the power and the grace that is in Jesus, helping us through the difficult times. Peter will see an empty tomb. He will see the resurrected Savior. Yet, he will go back fishing. We're not sure if it was a permanent fishing calling he wanted to call himself into, or whether he was just distracted from doing what he was meant to do. He certainly wasn't preaching the gospel at that point in time when he went fishing. But Jesus will show up on the scene. Jesus will show up on the shore. He will tell them to cast their net and get a good harvest. Yet, he will go to shore and make the fire there and roast the fish waiting for them, letting them know that the failings of the moment, the temporary distraction you may have gone through, isn't necessarily the reason why you have to quit. But I'm here to support you. I'm here to lead you through. I'm here to prove to you that I have reason and you are empowered to carry on into the next phase of your ministry. And as Jesus would interact with them, in the book of John chapter 21 verse 16, Jesus will ask the question from Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter will answer, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." But the kind of love that Jesus was asking at that point was the agape love, an unconditional love, a love that does not depend on whether you failed or whether you feel you are up to. It was a love that is unconditional, a full love. But Peter will reply, "Yes, Jesus, you know I love you." But the kind of love he was expressing at that point was a filial love, a brotherly love, a love that is sort of conditional. Well, if it works, then you know I love you. But Jesus will ask him again the second time, "Do you love me unconditionally?" And he will reply again, "I love you with a brotherly love." But Jesus in this was demonstrating to Peter and his disciples that my love for you is unconditional. It's not conditional about whether you're going through a difficult time and you're navigating it in a good way or in a way that is up to your standard. But I know your weaknesses and I know that I can strengthen you through the difficult times. I have just been to the cross. I have just risen and I know it is not easy, but I will stand by you. And in life, there are times when we go through the difficult times and we ask ourselves those questions. Do I need to keep pressing on? With what I've chosen to pursue as a career, do I need to keep pressing on? As a student, do I need to keep pressing on? Even in living in purity and in living a life of integrity as a Christian, do I need to keep pressing on? And in steering the course of what I believe I've been called as a Christian, from Monday to Friday, in setting myself apart and taking the fire of the Holy Spirit into my workplace or into my friendship groups, do I need to keep pressing on? In facing difficult challenges and in facing rejection, do I need to keep pressing on? In looking at my children and how difficult things may be, do I need to keep pressing on? But if quitting is in your language and if quitting is in your mindset, then it's just around the corner. We've got to realize that whatever we're going through, Jesus has been through it before. And he has been there. He's seen the challenges. He's seen the difficulties that we may be going through. And he's willing to help us through it. Peter didn't just quit. He stayed on. And not only did he stay on, he would end up preaching a message that started the church, where 3,000 people will be saved on the same day. He stayed on despite his failings, despite his denial of Jesus, despite the challenges that he will face as an early church. They stayed on and they stayed the course. And here we are today, 2,000 years on, the message is alive because some people have chosen not to give up. And if you stay on to whatever God has put in your heart, you just never know how far it will go. There are people who are waiting for you to happen. There are people who are waiting for you to go through that difficult time and find yourself on the other side. Then they can hang on to that and hope can be revived. And they can also have doors opening for them. Whatever you're going through and whatever God has called you to, I want to encourage you tonight. Giving up is not an option. As difficult and as challenging as they may be, we need to hold on. We know the grace of God is there for us to strengthen us through whatever we may be going through. It is not going to be easy. It's not going to be a smooth cruise. And it's not going to be without a fight or without challenges. But God is there to strengthen us. If I can invite the worship team to come. So whatever you may be going in your family, I want to encourage you, stay in there. Believe God to strengthen you through it. Whatever your children may be going through, whatever you may be going through in your workplace, believe God. Continue to pray and continue to stay the course. And ask God for direction. In any way He will want to lead you, He will strengthen you through it. The most important thing and the most fundamental thing we need to do is first a relationship with Jesus. And without a relationship with Jesus, we cannot discover His purpose for us. And in God's purpose, God will strengthen us through those challenges that may come our way. But first, we need a relationship with Jesus. We need Him to strengthen us through His Spirit. But without His Spirit and without believing and also confessing Him and having Him as our Lord and Savior, it is impossible to achieve that through the strength of the Holy Spirit and through the strength of heavens.